Welcome to the presentation of a lecture from Gnostic Radio, a free public service from Telema Press. Gnostic Radio broadcasts free lectures from the Gnostic tradition of Samael on Vior. Each lecture explores another aspect of this timeless and sacred knowledge. Many of these lectures are supported by additional materials available on our website. Each Saturday, Gnostic Radio broadcasts live. The live lecture is accompanied by an anonymous chat session, allowing listeners to read additional explanations related to the lecture and providing an opportunity to ask questions of the speaker. All of the efforts of Telema Press, including this lecture, are made possible by the financial support of listeners like you. Help us to help humanity by making a donation. Telema Press is a non-profit corporation. Donations are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. Now, with heartfelt wishes for the end of suffering for all creatures, we begin the lecture. May all beings be happy.
The lecture for this Saturday is entitled The Metallic Planets of Alchemy. And this is a lecture that follows the previous two ones that we were given, or we gave, that is related with physiology. The way in which the energies relate with our physical body, our mind, psyche, and spirit. Now, we are going to enter directly or to repeat something a little bit more in detail about the metals. Remember that we said that the metals of the earth, the veins of the earth, metallic kingdom, is like the nervous system of the planet Earth. And in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read the sentence that states that the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. Of course, Spirit of God in Hebrew is Ruach Elohim. And this Ruach is also a word for one of the three souls, or the types of souls that any person has. This is the thinking soul, according to Kabbalah, Ruach. We will say, because Ruach is the intelligence of the Elohim. This Ruach Elohim, or Spirit of God, or Spirit of the Cosmo Creators, is precisely the soul, or the energy, that we were talking in the other lecture. We said that the Ein Sof Or, which is the solar absolute located in the seventh dimension or zero dimension, manifests itself in this three-dimensional world, in this universe, through the metals. That's why when we said the metallic planets of alchemy, we are talking about that Ruach Elohim, that fluidic light that emerges from the absolute, from the zero dimension, and that manifests in this three-dimensional world through the metals. As we said in the other lecture, that the copper is a vehicle for the electric fluid, as we use it in this day and age for the electric energy. We have to understand and comprehend that the fluid of the Logos is related with the seven main metals. Manifest itself in this three-dimensional world, in this universe, through the metals. That's why when we said the metallic planets of alchemy, we are talking about that Ruach Elohim, that fluidic light that emerges from the absolute, from the zero dimension, and that manifests in this three-dimensional world through the metals. As we said in the other lecture, that the copper is a vehicle for the electric fluid, as we use it in this day and age for the electric energy, we have to understand and comprehend that the fluid of the Logos is related with the seven main metals. Because when we talk about the planets, we always refer to the law of the Epta Para Parshinok, which is the law of seven, the law that organizes. And that reminds me, or brings into my mind, the book of Revelation, where it is stated there that the Lamb, that we said is a symbol of fire, or that fluidic energy, has seven eyes and seven horns. And it is because the solar Christ, or that fluidic energy, organizes itself in this solar system, and in any solar system, through the law of seven, which are represented by the seven planets related with the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is, of course, a wrong organization, because the right organization of the planet is Moon the first, Mercury the second, Venus the third, Sun the fourth, Mars the fifth, Jupiter the sixth, and Saturn the seventh. So here we find the seven metals of the earth, silver for the moon, quicksilver for Mercury, copper for Venus, gold for the sun, iron for Mars, tin for Jupiter, and lead for Saturn. So these seven metals are, we will say, in the kingdom of metals, in any planet, the seven physical vehicles. in order for that fluidic force of the Logos, of that lamb with seven eyes and seven horns, to manifest in our world, in the earth. This is how we understand and comprehend that the Logos, in its septuple activity, helps the evolution of every single element in the earth. And of course, when we talk about the metallic planets, we have to understand that our physical organism attracts those vibrations, as we were explaining in the previous lecture. Here, in the physical organism, we have to refer to the nervous systems related with the three brains. Remember that the cerebrum spinal nervous system is related with the father, the grand sympathetic nervous system with the son, and the parasympathetic with the Holy Spirit. These three nervous systems act through the law of the triamatsikano, or the law of three, in order to organize in the physical organism the metallic planets of alchemy, which are related, of course, in the physical body with the endocrine glands, with the plexus, with the chakras of our internal bodies. In this case, we have to mention the vital body or ethereal body, which is the superior aspect of the physical body. When we are tired physically and we go to bed, we leave the physical body. But the vital body never leaves the physical body, always stays there, floating on top of the physical body and attracting the prana, the solar energy, through the chakras. You know that we have many chakras related with every gland in the organism. But we always mention always seven, because we always organize our system through the law of seven, that the law of organizes. There in the internet, in the forum, you can see the chart that we place related with the nervous systems and the glands, how they are influencing the different glands of the human organism. The chakras are, of course, wheels that rotate and attract this fluidic energy from the different forces on the planet, for the solar system, and the universe. The main energy that we take from the atmosphere is the solar energy that the sun places during the day in the atmosphere. So during the night, our vital body attracts or sucks that solar energy through the chakras, through the plexus, and transmit it into the glands. And the glands transform those forces into hormones. And this is how our metabolism works, thanks to the influence of the Ruach Elohim. Because when we talk about the metallic planets, we have to understand that these seven main genii related with the seven planets transmit their fluidic influences, or Ruach Elohim, through the metals. That's why it's always related with what it was explained in the last lecture, related with the hydrogen. I remind you that hydrogen means hydro, water, in gene. Here we can also refer to our genes, because in the fifth dimension, in the world of Hod, in the astral body, we have these chakras, which are in direct relation with the vital body, that transform those energies into hormones. Of course, we receive that according to our health, according to our physiology. Here we understand why, in order to enter into the initiation, sometimes we point at the necessity of having a very healthy body, the necessity of knowing how to feed ourselves physically, mentally, psychologically, because alchemy means transmutation of the forces of God, Allah, chemistry of Allah, of God, because this is a word comes from the Arabic origins. And of course, is energy divided in seven. The moon, for instance, is related with the thymus gland. And the thymus gland that has a chakra related with the subconsciousness, a particular subconsciousness, and subconsciousness of nature. Remember that this is stated that the moon is the mother of the earth. Then you can relate how, by putting in activity this chakra, one can remember the past. The vibration of the moon. There are many practices that are being taught in Gnosticism in order to develop the chakra. It's called of the lungs. And it's called of the lungs because the thymus gland is located precisely between the lungs and behind the heart. Do not mistake and think that the thymus gland is related with the Anahata chakra. Because many esotericists, they say that the Anahata chakra is related with thymus, but it's in reality, the Anahata chakra is related with the heart and the thymus gland, with that pulmonar chakra that are related with the past lives. While in this case, the heart is related with the blood, with the sun, and that gives us that power of intuition, premonition, hunches. And the metal of the sun is gold. So you find here, for instance, in one place, the relationship of the moon and the sun, very close. The thymus gland and the heart, intimately related. But of course, we have the other planet, which is the second one, which is Mercury. Mercury relates directly with the whole brain, and also with the pineal gland. Related with the pineal gland, we know that also we have another planet, but which goes out of the seven, which is Neptune. But if you find and study the relationship of Neptune with the waters, and Mercury also with the waters, You find the relationship of the brain and pineal gland in relation with the sexual forces. That's why Mercury is related with the signs of transmutation. Many topics that we are going to talk continuously in different lectures. Mercury of the wise is something that we have to understand. And remember that Mercury is called in Greek terms or Greek words Hermes. And from that word comes hermetic, related with the mind. And it is stated that Hermes in Egypt was called Hermes Trismegistus, the god Ibis of thought or Tut, which of course was a great master that relates with the mind, with the brain, pineal gland. There in the head, of course, we have a lot of senses. But related with the pineal gland, we have the polyvoyance, or what the master or esotericism call the eye of dogma, which is polyvision, power of seeing within the Akashic records. We can study the study of the earth, the history of the earth, the solar system, even the universe, with the eye of dogma. And here, in the thyroid gland, we find Venus, related with the copper metal. Thyroid. The thyroid gland and the parathyroid gland. There are the two glands that are there together. One is influenced by Venus and the other for Mars. Then you find the relationship here with this chakra of clairaudience, which is also related with the power of the word. Iron and copper, thyroid and parathyroid gland. So the power of the word is related with Mars. Samael. Oh, here it's good to remember the seven genii related with the seven planets. From the moon to Saturn, Gabriel, Raphael, Uriel, Michael, Samael, Zahariel, and Orithiel. Samael the fifth is the Logos, the Lamb, the fifth horn and fifth eye of the Lamb. Here you have to understand why the book of Revelation depicts the Lamb with seven horns and seven eyes, because really all of them, seven, that's why it's called Ruach Elohim, because Elohim means gods and goddesses. In this case, when we talk about the Ruach Elohim in relation with cosmic creation, and with us, we have to understand that we are talking about the seven genii, the seven logos that organize. Because in any solar system, you find many Elohim, gods and goddesses, many cosmo-creators. Because we have to understand that in Gnosticism, we affirm that our solar system has 12 planets, the sun being the 13 in the center. And every planet has its own cosmo-creator. But related with the law of seven, we only talk about seven. That's why in ancient times, the wise men, the sages, were talking about seven, not because they didn't know about the other five, because they were talking about the creation of the human being, the solar man. And when we talk about that, we talk about only seven. So the ancient people knew about all of the planets of the solar system and more. So that's why the Lamb or the book of Revelation talks about seven horns, seven rays, or seven fluidic forces that work through the metals of the earth and any planet in the solar system, even the sun. This is how all the forces are organized, because every planet has its own metallic kingdom. And the fluidic solar force of this logos, or seven genii, are everywhere in the solar system. That's why we said, what is iron? Is the Ruach Elohim of Samael evolving in the mineral kingdom of the earth and any planet of this solar system? But here, when we work in the self-realization of the being and we start transmuting the sexual force, then Samael works in different places, of course, because they are one. As we said, the Holy Trinity, three in one, we can say the Holy Septuple Unity, because they are one. I repeat, this is why in Book of Revelation, the Lamb is represented with seven horns and seven eyes, because are one entity. Organizes Christ, Avalokiteshvara, or whatever name we want to give it to that fluidic energy that is always sacrificing itself for matter. So the power of the word is Samael. That's why it says that when you acquire that, you rule the multitudes with the rod of iron. Iron, as is written in the book of Revelation, because iron is Samael. And from his mouth protrudes a sword. In English, it's beautiful to associate this, because if you take the S, which is a symbol of the serpent, the fire, out of the word sword, you find the word word. So that sword that protrudes from the mouth of the fifth of the seven is the word that hurts the multitudes in the way that is teaching the truth and telling everybody that we are demons, but that we can transform our seven demons and make a god of it. But it's not easy, of course. That's precisely the alchemy, transmutation of the lower metals into higher metals, especially in gold, which is a symbol of the sun. That's alchemy. This is how you understand now how the alchemists hide that, and people, when they were talking about metals, they think they were talking about the vulgar metals that are here that the people take from the mines in order to make business. Of course, in the veins of the earth, they are like the solar, like the nervous system for the earth. And that's why we can utilize those metals in order to attract the forces. That's why the master says that the best magnetic pentagram that you can elaborate is with the seven metals. Because the seven metals are the vehicles for the seven fluidic forces of the Ruach Elohim. And this is how you understand how we develop this clairaudience and power of the tongue. This is how Christ made the deaf to hear, because here is the magic ear in the thyroid gland. When you transmute the energy, you start hearing and understanding the knowledge And if you are mute, dumb, then you talk after that. Christ gives the power. Mm-hmm. That's why he says, if somebody asks you anything, don't think. Just the Holy Spirit will talk for you. But that is a fluidic energy. It's not believing in anything. It's just alchemy. And then we find the Son, which of course is the heart of the organism, with his intuition, with the atom nous there, that organizes the whole transmutation. That's why when you said about the Master talks in one of his books that the seven genii are in the sun, in the center of the sun. Well, the seven genii are also in the center of the earth, in the center of Mars, in Venus, and any planet of the solar system. Because they are Ruach Elohim. Do not think in Elohim like a person, but a fluidic force, Ruach, intelligence. And then we find here the planet Jupiter. Always we refer to the pituitary gland. We was clairvoyance. Jupiter, Zeus, the king of the gods. Here we find again Christ, the symbol. You can name Christ in any of the seven, and then you find the meaning of it. So Jupiter, of course, is related with inner Christ. Clarity of clairvoyance. The way in which that chakra of clairvoyance, Ajna, can capture the light and color waves, not only of this three-dimensional world, but the fourth dimension, fifth dimension, sixth dimension, and seventh dimension. Because with our eyes here in this physical world, we only capture the waves of this physical plane. Some of them. But yeah, I say some of them, because they are color and light waves, we recall television. But we cannot see them here unless we have a television. And the television will help us to see those waves. So they are, of course, passing here in this very moment, but we don't see them. We also, in this very moment, we have the waves of sound from radio, even the internet. But can you see those waves here? You cannot deny that those waves exist because we have the computer that proves that they exist, television, many other things. So how many waves, how many waves of sound, color, light we don't perceive? Many. As long we are creating, inventing instruments that allow us to see those waves, before that, we just said, I don't believe, or I believe. Main thing is to develop our inner senses, learning to see them without any help of any instrument. And finally, we have the last one, Saturn. The Ancient of Days is called Saturn, related with Saturday. The day in which we are right now, Sabbath, it's called by the Hebrews, Holy Sabbath. But the Romans and Greeks call them Saturnalia. You know that, Holy Saturnalia. This is something that you have to understand, that Saturday is really related with esotericism. Its color is black. Lead is metal. Related with the human organism, we find that Saturn is related with the spleen. But here in this area, the spleen, you know, is a gland or the organ that transforms the solar light that the vital body takes from the atmosphere into red cells. Anyhow, that fluidic force passes into the nervous system. And you find the relationship of the spleen with the kidneys. In the kidneys, above the kidney, we have the suprarenals. When the suprarenals are influenced by Saturn, what happens with the suprarenals? Glands. That's the word you call it, suprarenal? Suprarenal. No? Suprarenals? The glands above the kidneys. Suprarenals. So there you find that fluidic force that is called adrenaline. Do you know what the adrenaline is related with? When you are, for instance, afraid of something, your adrenaline is being emitted by the glands of the suprarenals, and any animal can smell that. That's why I said that any animal can smell fear. But what the animal smells is that adrenaline from the glands. Then you find the relationship, of course, with Saturn. It's death. Many people are afraid of death or being killed. When you are acting or your glands are hyperactive in that way, then Saturn, which is concrete, related with the Earth, crystallizes that vibration into what we call in the kidneys, kidney stones. So that's why in the book of medicine, the master says, if you want to be rid of those problems with the kidney stones, you have to meditate in fear, anxiety, and many other of those egos that we have in that area that creates those stones in the kidneys. But is Saturn the one that is doing it? You know? Meaning that karma, cause and effect. And that's why Saturn is always related with great ceremonial practices. It's coming into my mind now something very good for all of you that I precisely wrote. The Master talks about in one of his books, The Revolution of the Dialectic, about the sacred pools of ancient temples, the temples of mysteries, that in this day and age they have become pools for swimmers. But if you go into the different religions of the past, you find that they were having always ceremonial pools, rituals, that is still in this day and age. The only ones that I know that are practicing this are the Jews, related with the mikveh. The mikveh is a pool that was taught, of course, in the past by the initiates or in Kabbalah. A pool that had the shape of a vav, the letter vav or bow. The letter vav or vav, if you know Hebrew, is like a little comma projected down. That's the letter vav. Or a yod, they said, projected down. Symbol of the human being. Vav, or bow, the number 6. related with sexuality. What in reality ancient people, Kabbalists, were teaching to humanity related with Saturn, because you go into the mikveh in Saturday and practice a ceremonial, Kabbalistic ceremonial, that many of Kabbalists in this day and age ignore their meaning, or they interpret that in the wrong way. We can say that this is a mikveh minit, a Hebrew word which means sexual, a sexual bath, in other words. A kind of symbol related with the baptism in other religions. You know that when you go and you baptize yourself, you always do it with water. Submerge yourself in water or pour water into your body in order for you to receive the forces of Bina, the Holy Spirit, which is ruled by Saturn. Of course, in Kabbalistic language, there is something that when you go into Saturday and submerge yourself in that pool that has the shape of a vav, you pronounce Kuma Adonai or Kuma Hashem. Hashem means the name. Adonai means the Lord. Kuma means arise. But if you understand this, you will understand why it's written like that. It says, Kuma Adonai ve'yafutzu oyevecha ve'yanutzu misanecha mipanecha. You submerge yourself. Kuma Adonai beya futsu oyeveha veyanusu misanecha mipanecha. The meaning of that means, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and the conquest of the land become instantaneous. Well, if you don't know esotericism, you think that you have to go physically and to conquer the earth. How the Lord is going to rise? When entering into alchemy, these enemies refer to the enemies of our internal God. Those who hate God are our psychological aggregates that transform the metallic forces of the Ruach Elohim in the wrong way. They hate Hashem, the word, the name, the holy verb within the sacred sperm, because in the beginning was the word. In fact, fornication is the initial hatred of Hashem or Adonai that originates all kinds of hate to the divinity, to the divine. Of course, when you practice this type of ritual, if you don't practice physically what we call the mikveh minit, or the sexual bath, because that's a symbol. Remember that Saturn is Bina, that rules the parasympathetic nervous system, related with the sexual glands. To submerge yourself into the water of Vav, or Vav, meaning to practice sexual transmutation. That is why it is stated in Kabbalah that you have to practice sexual magic in Saturday. Not that you have to fornicate only in Saturday. That's wrong. Because in order to set Kuma Adonai, in order for the Lord to rise in you, have to rise in the spinal column, because it's a fluidic force. The Lord, Adonai, in Kabbalah, it says that is the name of God in Malkut. And of course, if we ask you, what is Malkut? We know that Malkut is a physical body. Malkut is the earth, physically speaking. And that Adonai is the fluidic force of Bina, which is ruled by Saturn. And that's why you go on Saturday and you submerge in the pool and the mikveh minit, and you said Kuma Adonai, and repeat the other sacred words that are already recorded here, which are sacred words that you can even repeat when you are united sexually with your wife or with your husband. Because our words that not only have to be repeated when you submerge physically in the pool, but also when you are practicing sexual transmutation. Something secret. There are many, millions, that perform that mikveh every Saturday, but they don't know the meaning of it. They think that the enemies of the Lord are the enemies of Israel. But Israel is another word that is Isis, the Divine Mother, and Ra, the solar logos, and El is God. So it is all the parts. Hashem, Israel, the name Israel, is the name of our inner God. All of the parts that we had to collect by annihilating the ego in Saturday, because Saturday is death. That's the holy practice of Saturn, related with the kidneys, because the kidneys are related also with the sexual glands. The strength of the kidneys give you strength in the sexual force. And this is how you find how Uranus is related with Saturn, right? And is not perhaps Uranus and Saturn the two planets that you find in the sign of Aquarius? Any Aquarius person will know that, that Uranus rules the sexual glands, and Saturn is also in Uranus. So here you find the relationship, how Uranus helps Saturn in order to work in your nervous system, for that the fruitic forces of the Ruach Elohim rise in you in order to work and to have that outcome, the transmutation of the metals of the earth, alchemy, or the metallic planets. Of course, you understand that the physical body then has to be clean in order for those fluidic forces to move in harmony, not only in the earth, but in their physical body and in the solar system. They have to freely move in harmony. But if we put in our bodies wrong elements, as we were explaining in the last lecture with the Pankatattva ritual, obviously we are obstructing the move of that energy, not only in the physical world and the physical body, but in the internal bodies. In order to create a body like we have, that is beautiful, in the sense that it's a wonderful body, not beautiful because I don't want to go ahead in this meaning of the word beauty, which means soul, tiferet. What do we need in order to create a body like this, which is very complicated and marvelous? That's why nature gave us this body, in order for us to take advantage of it. What do we need in order to create one like this? Only two elements. No more. Sperm and ovum. This is it. But we know that in order to have a good sperm, we have to know how to live, how to feed ourselves, how to think, how to feel. Remember that the only people that I know that take care of the sperm, the physical sperm of animals, are people that have horses, that have cows, that have bulls, that have sheep. They always select the best males to mix themselves with the females. But in the human kingdom, or the so-called human kingdom, what is what the human do or does? They collect money to pay a prostitute to pollute their sperm. And the prostitute pollutes their sexual force too, with adultery. That's very common. What we eat, and we take drugs, we alter, of course, our seed. And not only the sexual seed in the sexual glands, but also the other chakras, the other glands are altered. So what kind of physical organism we have? No wonder why people are having children in this day and age that need transplants. That's a shame, in this, the shame of this humanity. Children that need transplants when they are babies. If we take care of our seed before having the copulation and having a very mature seed, of course, we will have good, healthy children. We need sexology, study of sexology, but not the garbage that they teach in schools and universities, that you have to use condoms in order to abuse your sex. That's a shame for us. No wonder why this human race is degenerated. If people say, oh, we are really evolving, well, I don't see evolution in a child that needs a liver transplant or a kidney transplant or a heart transplant. That's showing us that we don't take care of ourselves. Unfortunately, this is our case. In order for us as men to have good sperms, we need to know how to feed ourselves physically and psychologically. The woman has to have that sperm . Her glands will attract the fluidic forces of the planets, mechanically, of course. But if her glands are in health, that child will be strong. But as much healthy as a woman can be, if the sperm is no good. So the cooperation between men and women has to be always perfect. We have to take care of our sperm and ovum. You want to have healthy children. Then you find here the meaning of this. The influences of the Ruach Elohim of the 12 zodiacal signs are happening in the womb of the woman. Did you study how the 12 zodiacal signs are related with some parts of the body? Aries with the brain, the head, and Pisces with the feet, and many other things. Because you know, we know that Neptune is related with the pineal gland. Virgo related with the pancreas, stomach, and all of those organs that make you glutton if you know how to transform them. So then you find there that the 12 zodiacal signs are related with the making of that organism. Physical organism that is called the microcosmos, because the Ruach Elohim of the planets, of the solar forces, and the zodiac are making their little microorganism that they need in that physical body in order to create eventually the solar man. If that soul that will receive that gift will take advantage of it. And you know that after 9 months, that creature goes out from the womb of his mother or her mother and appears in the physical world. And then here we find the Epta Paraparshinok, the Law of Seven, organizing in different steps every 7 years the physical body. The first testicular layer in the male, in combination with the thymus gland. Helps the development of that creature, physically speaking. And of course, the thymus gland is in direct relation with the mammary glands of the woman. That's why no milk of any animal or any chemical milk can substitute mother's milk. Because the thymus gland attracts the vibration of the moon, the fluidic forces of Gabriel, that always are related with birth. And the mammary glands give that milk with the hormones will help the metabolism of that child. And of course, here you find the relationship of the motor brain. The motor brain related with the moon. The child starts developing that. Know how to walk, how to talk with example. And of course, from the 0 to 7 years in childhood, which is the influence of the moon in our physical body, you find the development of personality. So we have the personality in accordance with the examples that we receive in childhood from 0 to 7. The strength of the body. For instance, in ancient times, you find those, maids or women that were prepared only to feed babies. Milk ladies.
Wet nurses.
And that's why many men were loving those women as mothers, because they were receiving the strength of their bodies. Those men were strong muscles, strong bones. And when you find in the ancient times the story of the battles, wars that they had, and you find in museums the big swords that they were holding in those battles, how they were doing it. In this day and age, you need like 3 men in order to hold those swords. So why are we saying that we are better than people in the ancient times? We are wimps. We cannot hold a sword like that. And because they were fed very well, not with chemicals, that in this day and age, women that deny their breath to their children because of vanity, and many other ignorant things that unfortunately is very popular. If you want to have a strong children, well, do not deny it, mother's milk to your children. Unless the woman cannot develop that milk. That's very rare. And of course, the fact that a child is reaching the 7-year-old doesn't mean that they are fully developed. Master Samael tells us that from the 7 to 14 years of age, we start developing the emotional brain, of, the intellectual brain, which is related with Mercury. That's why it's easy to learn from the 7 to the 14 years of age many things, many languages, because Mercury is the word. If you find the relationship of Mercury, Hermes, is with the mind, with the word. We can learn many languages at that age. And of course, the second testicular layer in the man gives us certain forces in combination with a thyroid gland. With the brain. Somehow the fluidic forces aren't not fluiding very well in my brain right now, right? Let us Mercury fluid this. And I was seeing faces here. That's why. Well, is Mercury related with the brain, the development of the speech? But unfortunately, you find that in this day and age, it's very popular that children from the 7 and even before to the 14-year-old, they are masturbating. Masturbation is really very bad. Because when you study sexology related with alchemy, you know very well that the most sensitive organ in the organism is the phallus in the man and the vulva in the woman. Those organs transmit and take energies because the synthesis is there of all the fluidic forces of the Ruach Elohim. When in a sexual act, a man and a woman reach the orgasm, the spasm, they lose those substances. So, instinctually, each organ absorbs the fluidic forces of the other in order to replace their own vitality that was expelled with the orgasm or spasm. The human organism transmits that into the different glands, especially to the brain. That's why people that fornicate with years and years, they became alike. If you notice that have the same way of thinking, same way of being, different, the same defects, even physically. Those fluidics are transmitted in this way. Men loses approximately, 100% in the spasm and attracts, let's say, like maybe 3% of the woman. But the woman is more passive, so she attracts more than the male. We will say that the woman takes like 10% or 15% more. After the orgasm, of course. But in a vice of masturbation, you don't find any other force there. It's only a private vice in which the sexual organ, after the spasm or the orgasm, attracts cold air. That ruins the whole system, especially the brain. The brain, that's why in this day and age, is degenerated. People think that the brain is evolving. No, it's de-evolving. Why people despise classical music? Because the brain is degenerated. Those parts of the brain related with that music no longer are active because of different vices, especially masturbation. Many people are in a mental hospital because of masturbation. That cold air destroys the brain. That's why the great men of the past that were influencing a lot of people, the populace of the earth, were pinealists, having a very strong pineal gland, because the sexual hormones were feeding their brain and the pineal gland. From the 14 to the 21, we have another septuple cycle. It's Venus. And here we find the influence of the thyroid gland with the sexual glands. In the man, his voice turns grave, strong. The woman also changes. The third testicular layer starts creating sperms in the man, and the woman starts ovulating. Women develop before that age. The body of women are more complicated than the male. Of course, those hormones that are being created with the ovums and the sperms is what make a man, and a woman. And that's why you feel the attraction, sexual attraction, at that age. Because your sperms are being distributed in all of your organism. And you know how to transmute it, that will be very good. But unfortunately, the vice of masturbation continues in both sexes. In ancient times, masturbation in a female body, on a female sex, was not so common like in this day and age. And the worst of it is that doctors advise that it's natural and normal and healthy. I don't see any health in that. To be stupid is not to be healthy. To be dumb, with all our chakras not in activity, is that to be wise? That's why we are very three-dimensional and very skeptical because of that. So the fact that somebody is from the 14 to the 21 in his childhood, the master says, is not that he's ready to sexual activity. But there are many people that are sexually active before 14. And that's why our root race is like as it is. Because the sexual act is normal and logical after 21, not before. 18 in woman. Sometimes 17, because women develop faster. Then we can marry. Then we can start taking advantage of alchemy. But unfortunately, we are abused in the younger ages, and when we reach the 21, we don't have the strength in order to develop in the solar epoch, which is 3, because the sun is in relation with the Triamasi Kamno, so it's 3 times 7, 21 years. The longest period in which we have to conquer nature, conquer our life, to take advantage of the solar forces. If we know how to take advantage of our own particular pool, if we know how to practice the mikveh minit, or the sexual transmutation of our own waters, and we can say, Kuma Adonai, arise, Lord, in my spinal column and destroy my enemies so I can conquer the promised land. But at that age, as you know, men and women continue their fornication, adultery. Men, in order to feel that they are men, they go to prostitutes. They drink alcohol in order to show their friends that they are men. Or they are cool, they smoke marijuana. Or they take cocaine. Did you ever take LSD? Did you ever take these? You look at that? And they feel so proud when they talk about it. Proud about how we degenerate our bodies. Unfortunately, that's a sad thing. If a woman takes 10 or 15% of the values through the sexual act of the man that has sexual intercourse with her, obviously in that sexual intercourse she takes emotional aspect, mental aspect, psychic aspect, karma, in other words. So obviously a young man that is just reaching maturity and wants to experience how to be a man, he goes with a prostitute. And she teaches him how to be a fornicator and how to handle after that the different diseases, vices, not only physical, psychological, mental, that we receive because a prostitute has a lot of every man that had intercourse with her. But when we talk about this, we talk also about adultery. You don't need to be to go with a prostitute in order to get the different karmas of different men or different women. You just go and practice adultery, which is very common. And then you get into your system the karmas of other men that were with your woman. Or if you're a woman, you take the karma of that man attracted from other different sexual acts that he had in the past. Now you understand why we are in this society, in this day and age, like a big web, worse than like the website or the internet. A lot in us. Now we have to face the consequences and not to say, oh, it's God, his fault. We have free will. From the 21 to the 42 years in our young age is the solar epoch in which the sun influences us. But after the 42 to 49 is Mars. And Mars gives us strength. In order for us to conquer our place to prepare place for our old age. People receive the influence, the strength of Mars from the 42 to the 49. But because they were abusing the solar epoch, in the Venus epoch, in the Mercurial epoch, they are very weak. Their glands are not strong. Mars energy is strong. But if our glands are weak, then we fail. And we have to work very hard in order to conquer and to have our home, something to prepare ourselves in order to reach our old age. From 49 to 56, then enters Jupiter, the father of all gods. Give us the scepter of the kings or queens. And then we have abundance. A lot of people that approach us, they take benefit of our dharma. But if we didn't know how to live in the Martial epoch, in the solar epoch, in the Venusian epoch, Mercurial epoch, whatever, people approach us in order to give us alms. Because we have, instead of the scepter, we have the staff of the beggars. You see the two polarities? We're always surrounded by people in Jupiter. People are feeling pity for us and giving us alms, or people are around us and taking advantage of our work that we perform in the previous periods. And we will reach the old age, which is from 56 to 63, And then we find Saturn. And then we will be an elder, that everybody will look for us for advice. Grandchildren, if we have children, or people that will ask for advice, knowledge, wisdom, for life. But it's very rare to find somebody like that. Usually, people at this age, they're looking, their families are looking for a place, special place, a house for old people to take them out of their sight because they are a burden for them. It's not like I said, oh, I'm going to go with my grandfather because he's a rich man and I will take some loan from him, right? Most of the cases, it says, get rid of this person here because we had to have our private life, whatever. Only those that knew how to live wisely have money and benefits their children and grandchildren. Reaching that age of 63, then Saturn enters again in combination with the same seven planets again. Saturn in combination with the Moon. Saturn in combination with Mercury. Saturn in combination with Venus. Only for those that overcome the mechanicity and know how to transmute the metallic forces can go beyond Saturn and enter into the Neptunian period, Uranus period, Pluto. Otherwise, we are submitted to the law of seven. But remember, that's why an old man from 63 to 70 becomes like a child, because the influence of the moon, the fluidic forces of that Ruach Elohim, are entering again by the law of seven into his organism or her organism. Then Mercury. This is how you have to understand that your nervous system is always attracting the fluidic forces of the Ruach Elohim. And this is how you have to understand how the different practices in Gnosticism help you. Runes. The different runes in which you take the fluidic forces of nature, of the cosmos, in order to make that transformation in your body, in your psyche, in your mind, your spirit. This is how God works. It's not a matter of believing. It's a matter of knowing how to work with that fluidic force that in the beginning was floating upon the face of the waters. Do you have questions?
What if you already have used certain previous influence of the planets? Can you receive those benefits again before you're 63?
Of course. That's why this is what we call the path of regeneration. That's why we open the doors of this knowledge to humanity, because it's the only way to regenerate. That's why in the beginning when people enter into these studies, they said, well, I have 1 month, I have 6 months, I have 1 year, and still I don't have certain experiences. What is going on? What is going on is that your body was degenerated, was polluted, you degenerated. Now the Holy Spirit, the forces of the fluidic forces of the Ruach Elohim, are regenerating first your physical body in order for that to work normally as it should, right? In order to you to see or to grasp the other forces. So remember that in the beginning, the sexual transmutation regenerates all the stupidities that we perform in the past.
Obviously, the law of karma has to apply to, you're saying, to alchemy, to good sperm, that you're going to get this perfect child, you know. But doesn't the law of karma apply to, you know, any child?
Of course. That's why if you want to be the vehicle of the karma of a drug addict, then degenerate yourself and you will have that soul in as a child. But if you want to change your karma and to bring into your home a genius like Mozart, then prepare yourself, transmute, transform yourself, and then the sperm, your vibration, psychologically, physically, mentally, spiritually, will be in tone with that. And then you will bring another child that will have another type of karma. Karma is always there. But you don't want to bring into the world a child with a terrible karma. It depends on you. The law of affinity attracts souls according to your psyche. Of course, we are vehicles of karma or dharma. It all depends on us. Do you have any other question?
There's a question about why is it that some initiates believe that the order of the planet changes related to the tree of life? For example, some say that thought.
Well, it is because of lack of experience. Anybody knows that Hoth is influenced by the moon. But also, you have to understand that, as we were explaining in the beginning, the lamb with seven horns are the seven mighty archangels. And even though Venus, or I mean the Hoth, is related with the moon mainly, also you find the forces there of Venus. Because Hoth is the prana, the astral light, related with the fire. With that fire that we call Hod, the glory of God, which is in synthesis divided in three, which is also we name when we do the exorcism of the fire. We said Mikael, king of the lightning and of the sun, is Hod. Samael, king of volcanoes, is Hod, but in different way. And Anael, prince of the astral light, which is Hod. But we are naming there the forces of certain logos or Ruach Elohim in relation with Hod. But we know directly what planet is ruling. That is the moon. And then Netzah is ruled by Mercury, mainly. But as I said, the lamb with seven horns are everywhere in every sephira.
Can you go over the characteristics of the seven rays? Mars is war, Saturn death. What are the others?
Well, the moon is related with life, obviously. That's why Gabriel is always related with the annunciation of the entering or the birth of any master. And related with manual works, imagination. But Mercury is in relation with the intellect. A lot of wisdom. Remember here, Hermes, Trismegistus. Everything related with the hermetic science is Mercury. And Venus, art. We find here, for instance, music, painting. What else? Anything related with art. But I repeat, even in Venus, you find Martian artists. But they are using the force of Venus, the third horn of the lamb, in their way. Like Beethoven, for instance, is very strong. It's Martian. But it's in Venus. And the solar force is in relation with the law. It's in relation with judges. With karma, police, like Mars also, army, police, the power of the word. Many great people that perform good surgery, doctors, are Martians. You see, and it's Mars, but it's in relation with Mercury because medicine is in relation with the science of Mercury. There are great doctors related also with the Martian ray that works in Mercury. And we find Jupiter related with kings, presidents, governors, principles, anything that is related with direction, conducting. We have the master of the ray of Jupiter, for instance, which erroneously some ignoramuses are saying that belongs to the seventh ray, Saturn, and not belongs to the sixth ray, the master Saint Germain. And it's related with politics. You see, the ray of politics is the sixth ray, which is also related with the master Jesus, with multitudes. So Saint Germain, Cagliostro, and many other great masters of the ray of politics belong to Jupiter, not to Saturn. But there are people that ignore all of this because they don't study that internally, the influences of the Ruach Elohim. Saturn is in relation with inheritances, with land, with death. For instance, if you want to receive or to work with an inheritance that you might receive, or you are having problems with inheritance, you have to work with Saturn. It's lands, states, death, and also medicine. There is a great master of the ray of death that we mentioned in the internet, which is the master Kamatsots. Is the bad god, the great doctor, a great physician. He handles not only death but life, because in order to handle death, you have to know what life is. Bless, somebody's nosy. Yeah?
Is it useful to do esoteric practices during the zodiacal sign related to that specific practice, whatever it might be?
Of course, any practice of the zodiacal sign are good anytime, but especially when the sign is vibrating, like in this moment, for instance, we are in the sign of Gemini, right? So that is good, the practice of Jupiter in relation with astral projection as well. Any other question? Here?
What's the difference between the story of the revelation of the seven heads and the ten horns? Because now you mentioned Revelation, seven horns, related to, I guess.
Well, the lamb. In Revelation, the lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. In this case, the seven eyes of the lamb are related with the chakras, related with our physiology, and the rays as well with the seven serpents or kundalinis that we had to rise, and also with the seven mighty rays that we were talking in relation with the metals or the forces, the fluidic forces. But there, the beast 666 that has seven heads, of course, they are the opposite of the seven mighty rays. These seven heads are lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, gluttony, and laziness. The seven sins. But the beast has ten horns. That is related with the world of Klipoth. Because when you study the world of Klipoth, you find the ten inferior spheres, beginning with Malkut, and the nine inner layers of the earth. Those are the ten horns, which are, of course, in activity in this day and age.
But they're related with the Ten Commandments, oppositely?
Obviously. They are the opposite of the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments are related with the Tree of Life. And the opposite of the Ten Commandments are the ten horns of the beast. And you find, for instance, the opposite of every commandment, you find that each horn is in the ego. The name of blasphemy that is written in the head of the beast are the name of the seven capital sins. Of course, there is a lot of wisdom there related, because each one of us is the beast with ten horns and seven heads. Obviously, the whole humanity is also there. And there is another symbol there. that is not related with this lecture. Any other question?
You mentioned that the Earth has metals that collect the vibrations of the different planets, but also you mentioned that beneath the Earth there are like layers of those layers that you mentioned just now. How can there be both like those like different layers in the Earth and at the same time like metals that?
Well, when we talk about the nine layers of Klipot, we're not talking about physically. Remember that the Earth has three aspects. The physical aspect, we were talking here about the metal veins, which are the nervous system of the Earth, where the Ruach Elohim, or the fluidic of the Logos, circulates. And gives life not only to the human kingdom, but to the mineral kingdom, to the plant kingdom, to the animal kingdom, etc. Then we have the second aspect of the inner layers of the Earth. We share the inferior Klipot when we find hell. But the infra dimensions, it's not physical. Infra, there are nine layers related with that. And then we have the other aspect, which is the supra dimensions. Because did you hear that many times we said that in the center of the Earth is the temple of the genie of the Earth, and whose name is Melchizedek? Of course, they said, well, is he in hell? No. Is in the supra dimensions within the inner layers. Now you can understand. You have any other question there?
Since Leo is related to the sun, could you go over some of the characteristics of that sign?
What characteristics?
Characteristics of the sign Leo.
Leo is very intuitive. Positively. Negatively, very proud. Leo wants always to rule, and always fighting like lions. But if we take advantage of Leo, of course, he's very intuitive. And Leo people, no matter if they are very poor, they always have abundance in their poverty. Because Leo is abundance. I never found any Leo person that lacks something. Even if he's very poor, he's happily living, always with abundance. Abundance in their own level, of course. It's good, positively. It's the best.
How are the metals related to the elementals?
Oh, well, in the book of astrology that eventually we will publish, you will have there the relation of the elementals. And, for instance, Saturn is in relation with the gnomes. Mars is in relation with the salamanders. But we find them Venus, Mercury, even Neptune is in relation with the undines and nereids of the water. And the sun is also related with the gnomes. There are many solar creatures that act like gnomes, like, for instance, the aloe vera, that's a plant related with the sun. And there's a gnome there. We have another gnome, which is, for instance, the agave americana. It's a beautiful gnome, but is ruled by Jupiter. So you find then that Jupiter, the sun, and Saturn are related with the Earth in that way. And Mars, of course, is salamanders. The sylphs of the air with Mercury. Metals. Well, you associate the metals and then you find them. Obviously, the metals are related with it too. In relation with all the metals, really, we will say that when you have all the metals, the seven main metals in a pentagram, you are controlling all the forces. Because the seven logos influence every kingdom, every single elemental, not only of the fire, but the earth, the air, the water.
Gnostic Radio is made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. To make a tax-deductible donation, visit our website at GnosticTeachings.org. For questions about this or other lectures, we invite you to participate in the free discussion forum at GnosticTeachings.org.